This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 325. We're continuing the Jack Ryan franchise. We're up to the second Harrison Ford film, Clear and Present Danger, from 1994. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, introduce our special guest for this week.
All right, well, he has been here before. This is the second time. He previously reviewed Starship Troopers with us. And way back when, he did Sicario Part 1, I believe the first one. Yep. And I don't remember the other movie he did, but he's been here a couple times. His name is Jay. Jay, go ahead and say hello to everybody, and if you want to give him your Instagram, be my
greetings,
guest.
Everybody. I'm JayManly84 is my link on Instagram.
Okay, so JayManly84, if you want to follow him there. Yes, of course. Thanks for coming back. He's one of our buddies and one of our Patreon members. And again, this is his second time on the show. So yeah, he's going to be reviewing a couple of movies with us this week.
Yeah, so right now, we're going to get into some financials for Clear and Present Danger, and then we're going to get into some Rotten Tomatoes critics and audience. We got to see where that's going to stand, because so far I think it's been, so far Rotten Tomatoes has been even on both sides. So I,
yeah,
I can't
on the
wait
first two they were the exact same number both times.
Yeah, so let's see if that trend continues. So with that said, let's get to some financials here, because I don't know, there's something about my man Tom Clancy. I don't know, it could be something with this, my man's water, but my man Tom Clancy, this budget was $62 million for Clear and Present Danger, okay? Worldwide total of $215 million. For 1994 money, this is another hit film in the third of the franchise. So what do you guys think of that?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's probably about maybe, I don't know, it's at least $500 million-ish in today's money, probably. Maybe more. So yeah, it did well. It's not really surprising. You have a big star. You have a, this is a sequel, only two years apart. So they didn't wait, you know, a long time. And these have proven to be moneymakers. So nope, I'm not surprised at all.
Jay?
Not surprised at all as well. I agree with everything Nate says.
All right, so let's get right into the critics and audience. Nate, take it away. Okay. What do we got here? Is it continuing the trend?
All right. So, you know, we had these weird two times in a row.
Okay.
Where we had the exact same score. Finally, the streak is over. The streak is broken. However, these are still really good scores. So this one, for the critic score, it's an 81%, which is an increase of 9% from the last movie. Last movie, remember, was a double 72.
Yeah.
So this one is 9% higher. And for the audience score, a 74, which is a 2% increase. So both of them went up. Critics liked it a little more, as far as, you know, more critics, I guess. 74 is 72 was 2% difference, but still both up. But this is another one where so far this franchise, three movies in, the lowest score has been a 72. So these are reviewed very well.
All right, Jay, what do you think of those numbers?
I think those are surprisingly good numbers. And I would say the story will tell you why when we get to that point.
Okay. Well, I'm stunned, because I thought we were going to have the trajectory of the same, but it, I mean, we're
81 and 81.
81, yeah. But you know what? It always happens. You know, the streak is going to have to end. But I agree in a sense of it's still fresh from the critics and audience, and it didn't dip to a 60. So it's still in the 70th ballpark for audience and in the 80 for critics, which is very interesting in that sense. Okay. So with that said, let's start it off with the lead character. My man, Jack Ryan, is back. Harrison Ford. I'm going to let Nate, take it away. Start it
Jake
off.
Jake Ryan.
What do you think?
Harrison Ford is Jake Ryan. So, okay. Again, first time watch for me. You know, I told you guys last week, I haven't seen any of these. I gave him a 5 in the last movie. And you know what I'm going to do here? 5 still. I still think, what if anything, I like that they went more into the analyst side of things in this movie than in the last movie. Last movie, he was a little more actiony and a little less analyst. And this one, he gets, he has to take over James Earl Jones' role in the CIA. And he's full on the investigation side of things. You know what I mean? Yes, he does go into action at the end, but even then, it's not like, you know, heavy action or anything like that. So I think Harrison Ford, you know, one thing they did dial back, it's fine, I guess, was the family stuff. I know you talked about that. You really enjoyed that stuff. Like, his family's in this, but not much. They only show the kids once at the beginning, the little boy and the, you know, and the daughter. And then Ann Archer pops in and out here and there. But so they dialed that back. But him, he got like a lot to to do in this movie. There's a lot of, and we'll get to it more in storyline, there's a lot of webs to untangle. And I think they did a good job of showing that side of him more. So I still give him a 5. I don't think he's any worse than last movie. It's equally as good, but with more emphasis on that part of him.
All right, Jay, what do you think? Jack Ryan, Harrison Ford.
Jack Ryan, a 5. Absolute 5. And the reason why I gave him a 5 is the same reason Nate gave him the 5. More analysts, a lot of the action happens in the end. He gets followed into acting deputy director by default because of Jim Gere, of course, is sick. And so he has to take over the job. And of course, he's doing the analyst. And then, of course, we'll get to the story part of that later on, what he has to do. And it was, he did his job, what he had to do. And he did it well.
So 5 across for you guys?
5 across so far.
All right. Well, you know what? Because when I go. I agree. I'm going to give Harrison Ford a 5 here. I liked him a lot. And I think we got more emotional driven at performance here with Harrison Ford in the director's chair. Because there's some scenes in this movie that I got amped. I was like, oh my God. Like the scene when he was like, don't put this shit on me, when he threw the guy against the wall. And I was like, oh, I love this guy right now. When he had the paper, he's like, I'm going to pin you to the wall. He was like, you the one who signed it, brother? Like, I had the president's thing. And I was like, I love this scene. There's certain things I'll talk about in the storyline, but I do like the emotional aspect of Jack Ryan. Like Nate said, we did get the action hero version of the prequel in Patriot Games, right? Now this one, they went into the analyst role. I liked both Harrison Ford, and I know Evan, when he comes back next week, Evan, you know, alluded where Alec Baldwin has that thinking acting of the analyst and the spear of the moment. I think Harrison Ford got it in this film, because there's certain parts in this movie that I was just like, okay, he didn't get the thinking out loud, but the analyst part, I kind of liked them in this one. I enjoyed it. In the family aspect, I do like a lot. They notched it down a bit because I enjoyed it. That's my favorite part of Jack Ryan and any other films and TV show is that, the TV show didn't have the aspect because it was his younger year, but I love the whole Kathy and Jack together. It's just one of those things. Even when they saw her in a little bit in Jim Greer's funeral, she's holding him. You could see like that tie, like how he impacted his life and you got to see it. So my favorite scene though with my man James Earl Jones is when the nurse is talking to him about the bath and he looked at Harrison Ford.
Well, he turns around.
He went like that. He's like, whoa. I'm a dirty old man. But I loved it though. I thought it was good. 5 across the board. Okay. Main villain. Now there's 2 of them. There's a Cardinal Felix Cortez, right? Mm-hmm. He's always playing the bad guy in a suave.
Joaquin Almeida. Yeah, that guy's bad.
Him. And then you got the other guy, the guy who plays baseball. I forgot the name of the Spanish dude.
No, well, Escobedo. That's the cartel guy. There's also Henry Zerny, the government guys who are doing shady stuff too.
Oh, Ernesto Escobedo.
Escobedo.
Escobedo. Yes, Escobedo. Yes.
So Jay, kind of factor in all of them because there's a lot of crooked people in it.
Yeah, so okay. You know what? Just put them all together in one pot. Yeah.
All right. Well, see, I struggled with this a little bit, and I came up with saying that Felix Cortez was probably the main villain in this, because when I processed this, I would say Robert Ritter, which was the deputy of operations. He worked with Jack Ryan. I wanted to say he was a villain, but I would say he was more of a weasel. A weasel is someone that just does shady things, and he threw up that, when you talked about that one scene where he pulled out that paper out of the safe. It's like, I got this gel out of free card kind of thing. It's like, he was just a weasel. He wanted to do shady things, and he threw Jack Ryan under the bus, all that stuff. And I'm sure we'll get to that part in the story. So I felt like Felix Cortez was more of the villain. But if you want to stack them all together, I would say let's go with the 4 at the most. But Felix at the most, because he was doing all the shady things. Mostly he was stabbing his boss in the back, and he broke that girl's neck when he went up to the cabin. And then when he found out all about the Americans being in Colombia, he got that helicopter, and then he was like blowing them all away. And go back up a little bit. He made that deal with that one scene where he was talking about making that deal. It's like, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back, which we'll talk about in the story again. So I would say a 4 across, definitely a 4.
All right, Nate.
I'm going to say a 5. I would say a 5. The villain element in this movie is way better than the last movie, in my opinion. And also than The Hunt for Red October. I don't care. I love drug cartel movies. So anytime we got some cartels in there, yes, I'm all for it. There's two bonus points though. Okay. Yes. Cortez was bad. That guy's bad all the time. If you see that guy in a movie, probably bad pretty much, but I like him. Good actor. Then you have the Escobedo, who's the leader of the cartel, who then, you know, tries to make his little deal with Jack Ryan and all this stuff, but ends up getting killed. Likes to play baseball in a cave for some reason. And then you got the crooked politicians doing the secret war that, you know, because the president said we have a clear and present danger and all this stuff. But let me tell you why there's two bonus points and why I give the villains a 5. Number one, the bad guys got rocket launchers. Anytime there's rocket launchers, and this is going to be, you know what, Alex, we've done, I don't know how many movies, 300 and something.
25.
Not enough rocket launchers. I love rocket launchers. My cousin Josh, one of the only people who knows this, if we watch a movie and someone pops up with a rocket launcher, automatically 1 point. So these guys, they're on the rooftop and they shoot like 50 rocket launchers at them. Amazing. We'll get to action. Great scene. Number two, Escobedo is my boy from Jurassic Park in the cave where he says, Grant's like me. He's a digger. 5. All jokes aside, I think they're great. It's a lot for Jack Ryan to get through to succeed. I think that's the best key or the best props I could give them.
Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to the bad guys, I was a little torn because I was like, what the hell? I was like, so many freaking bobbing and weaving dudes here. But it's a Tom Clancy movie. And I was like, okay, I went with a 5 on this. This is why. Not because they have rocket launchers. Because
plus one,
the guy had a baseball bat and he was swinging and he was swinging around the guy. And he's like, and you're telling me he goes, but also it's not because of the bat, but I like how they made it seem like the drug dealer was the bad one, right? Because he killed the president's friend. And the guy is like, well, I'm advising you. You shouldn't not do that without you telling me because you just killed the president's, you know, best friend. And he was just like, huh? He went, oh, well, sucks to be him. So I was like, that is dope. Then they already had like another plan already set in motion because he was already going to the United States, banging the secretary when you find out secretary of the, one of the, what?
Like FBI.
Yeah, the director of CIA or something like that.
No, FBI.
FBI, yeah. So I was just like, oh my God, Margaret. She's gonna get it, right? So I was like, all right. And I love the whole weaving of that. And then how Jack Ryan is just straight in the middle of everything. And I love the scene where he gives all the stuff to Greer and he's getting all the chemicals pumped into him and he's laughing mad hard. He goes, you've been in the seat for like 1 minute. And you're thrown in. So like all that. And again, the villains here were great. I mean, the scene that they get ambushed was great. Even the scenes at the end when everything starts to unveil and everything. And how the United States played a part of it. They were trying to kill him too. We didn't even think about that. Like their own United States dude was like, you got to kill Jack.
Yeah,
like,
Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, you kill Jack. I'll let you, you know, he's the one who had the upload link and all that.
That's why he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because he was literally going to kill the sitting CIA guy, murder him so he could continue an illegal war. That's a villain if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, and then the last but not least, once you see this guy, Henry, the guy who plays Robert Ritter, Jimmy,
yeah.
Once you see him in the movie, you already know he's bad. Because in Mission Impossible, he's a douche. You already know. Once I saw his face, I was like, he's a punchable face guy. He's
got a douchebag's face.
He does have a douchebag face. Yeah. That's what when I saw Harrison Ford, like, pushed him against the wall. I was like, yo, hit him right in the nose, bro. Like, just one time, just crack him in the nose. But he gave him the finger with the paper. And I was like, I love that. That's a point right there for me, with a finger, like, you know what? I'm going to figure you out and I'm going to get you in trouble regardless of that immunity. Mm-hmm. And the president of the United States, he knew what was going on and he was like, well, you know what? You have something leveraged to use against me whenever you could. Like, he didn't want to go through all that. And my man Jack yelled at the president in the White House and I said, that is a 5. My man Jack was like, I didn't give a shit if you're the president. He was by the book and me and Nate talked about people by the book gets the point. And you know what? For a villain, you got the president, you got the dudes in the side of the little White House things as a villain, Robert Ritter. You got, oh my God, you got so many villains, but they were so great in this overall story. That's a 5 for me. All right, action scene, Nate.
Okay, you guys already know. I don't know what you, I feel like I might know what you guys might give this, but you know, I'm the hardcore grader. I don't care. So with that said, I gave it a 4. Still don't get a 5. While this does have probably overall more action than the last two movies, it's still not, you know, for me, again, a 5, it has to be like immortally great action. It's got to be like, I think of this movie when I think of action movies. That's not going to happen here. I will say the rocket launcher scene in that little alleyway, though, fantastic scene. They're blowing up the cars. They're going reverse. Then they're going the other way. Then they're going the other way. Then they got to get out the car. And the people are shooting. Great action scene. Absolutely. Easily the best one in the movie. You have some stuff with like the military guys and the sniper and all that, but it's pretty quick. You have the last fight there in that, you know, the house, the little house scene where the guy comes in and shoots everybody in the back, and it's little bursts. Again, this is a franchise that's more focused on story, espionage, and, you know, government and stuff like that, political thrills, than straight up action. That being said, I think this one has the best action of them so far, so I gave it a 4.
Jay.
I gave it a 4-2 because the action you get, that was my favorite scene in this whole entire movie right there, was the attempted assassination with, you know, the blowing up the car, rocket launchers and so forth. And then the final act where the rescue mission happened. That was pretty much all the good action there. And of course, you had where the soldiers were being attacked. And so, yeah, good action. It was spread out evenly proportioned action. That's what I would call it. So
okay.
Plus rocket launchers.
Rocket launchers.
Plus rocket launchers.
I like it.
Automatic point.
There you go. All right. I gave it a 3.
Uh-oh. Ooh. No yes. Point for rocket launchers.
No
for
point.
Al.
Actually, no got way. The point for rocket, but for 3. I thought it was good. I thought it was it was a good action, right? My thing is that some of the action scenes in this film were way too fast. And this is what I mean. The ambush is the best part of the whole film. Hands down, the best part of the movie. That was more intense than I love it. Like Sakari, it was dope. Right after that, once you see the guys getting killed, it was slow motion. They were running up a hill. You saw these dudes shooting from whatever, shooting it in. I was like, okay, that's cute. But it wasn't as a lengthy thing. And these dudes are getting, we didn't see them get captured, right? They just assumed they got captured. So you're like, okay, great. But to me, like it was heartfelt, because that was at the time that Jack Ryan is at the getting all, like, everything was going chaotic at that time. So for me, it blended with the storyline. So it wasn't really an action piece. It was more like to show off what was going on. And that the ending sequence, I don't know. Like I just felt like that sequence at the end felt very not rushed, but it felt kind of like not plausible, because I can't say it's real or not, but it didn't feel like an action type movie. Like, it was just like, okay, you know, we're going to set this guy up here. William Dafoe, the sniper shot through the window and he shoots the bad guy. Then all of a sudden, Harrison Ford is running through this building and they save 2 prisoners. And then that's it. They get in a helicopter and that's it. Like, I was just like, Jesus Christ. I was like, oh, okay. Like, Harrison Ford shot no guns in that scene. He punched a dude. They fought. He didn't even grab nothing to even shoot back. It was mostly the other dude. So, like, for me, I just felt like the ending needed some type of sauce. It needed that money shot. Like, the ambush was the money shot of the whole film. If you tell me, that's the money shot. But that ending, I needed something like Jack grabs the gun and shoots my man the Cortez dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he turns around and just shoots him and says that one line, get off my plane.
I do want to say, too, though, another good thing for me, and this is something you don't see anymore in movies, like, ever, rare, great explosions in this movie. When they blow up the plane and when they blow up the house, like the way it, like it's an, they actually blew it up.
Yeah.
Now it'll be CGI, it'll be fake fire, it'll be a CGI explosion, which I'm sick of. Like, why can't we just blow stuff up anymore? But anyway, bonus point for that too. I love seeing these 90s and 80s movies where they used to blow crap up. It's way better than CGI.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, all that stuff is fun. I just felt like this movie was more story driven than action driven. Like the
second one. Oh, yeah. 100%, 1,000,000%.
But I think it's good action. I mean, but the ambush was great. It's one of the best ambushes I've seen in the movie.
Yeah, it was awesome.
There was mad rocket launches. Awesome. It was like a Call of Duty game.
Dudes are running, like shooting up in the air with the handguns.
Yeah. And Jack Ryan did get hit with an RPG. His car did get hit with it one. It just didn't blow
exactly.
up. Like
luckily,
all the other
dudes. It hit the front seat and he was in the back.
Yeah, it hit the engine. Like, this dude survived that. Mm-hmm. So I was like, holy moly. So anyway, that's a 3 for me. 4 for Jay. 4 for Nate. Okay, storyline. Jay.
All right. I agree with you that this was was more of a story-driven story than action, but yeah, even though I gave it a 4. I gave this, there was a lot of betrayal going on here, and as the president said, clear and present danger. It was a titled movie because the president was upset of friends getting killed by the cartel, and so he sends the troops in there, and then Jack Ryan, his job is to analyze what's going on. So I gave it a 5 because of all the trait betraying. You got Felix betraying his boss, and then you got the government turns around, betrayed Jack. They try to kill Jack. Then Jack finds out, he goes in there, and then he gets John Clark, finds out that is them betraying him as well. And then, so they go on the rescue mission, save the troops. And it's just, you know, and then I love the final act is great because when he goes and confronts the president and says, a president is just saying, basically throwing even Jim Greer, who's already passed away, under the bus. And Jack, I don't dance, you know, it's just tells you the great story that Jack is this great character. He's not afraid to be challenged. You know, he stands up for what he believes in, and he's got this great moral compass.
No, I agree. I agree on that.
So a 5, a perfect 5 on the story.
Awesome.
Okay, to me, this one feels, out of the 3 movies that we've done so far, this one feels the most like a book. Like, I feel like I was watching a book because there's a whole lot of stuff going on in this movie. Even to the point of like, I'll do a little pushback. I gave it a 4. As far as the storyline, I didn't love the third act of this movie because it almost turns into a whole different movie. Like, you have this whole movie, right, with the cartels, with the government, the secret war, and the, you know, them wanting to stop it, whatever. Then it becomes a rescue mission movie at the very end. Like, they got to go save these couple of troops that were ambushed and they were kidnapped and whatever. It's not that I don't like it. It's not that I didn't enjoy it being there, but it did feel like the type of thing where if all that's in the book, that's where you have to kind of see what you can trim and remove. And I haven't read the book, and I'm not saying if it's accurate. What I'm saying is this feels like I was watching a book, a movie based on a book, if that makes sense. And I feel like it could have been trimmed. This is the longest one by a good like half an hour. This is half an hour longer than either of the first 2 movies, or at least 20 something minutes. So, and it felt long to me, honestly. It did. Like, there was a lot of plot, and there was a couple times where I was like trying to remember everyone's name. Like, they'd say someone's name and I was like, I don't even remember who that is. And I had to check my phone to, you know, double check. So a lot going on. Still very good. I love the double crossing. I love the government intrigue and all that, but for me it was a 4.
Yeah, when it comes to this film, I thought it was a great movie. In terms of storyline, I thought it was great. I do agree with Nate in this form. It felt way longer than when it needed to be, because I felt like halfway through the movie I was just like, holy shit, we got another plot line to go through. And I remember watching this one,
an hour and
I
left.
Yeah, and I like this movie a lot. It's not like I'm saying it's a horrible movie. It's just that once you hit a certain point in a film like this and you start to go, okay, now we're going where? Now we're going this side of the, like, it's way too much. Way too much plots in this film. Now, I kind of understand the whole Tom Clancy thing. And I enjoyed it. And I already knew where we were going. I just forgot the pacing of the film, because sometimes the pacing of this film drags and then it catches up with it. Then it drags, then it catches up again. And I'm like, holy hell. Like, they did not know which way they were going with storyline or action in certain parts. I liked it for what it was. I thought the storyline all made sense. It wasn't 20,000 subplots. They just gave you 2 subplots in this film. I loved it. Now, Jay, when it comes down to the president throwing James Greer, he wasn't doing it on purpose. He was doing it as threatening because he knows that Jim Greer and him was best friends. And he goes, wait a minute, if I use James Greer, he knows that Jack maybe might pull back, going, okay, I won't say nothing, because he's like, he doesn't want to hurt his reputation. But what led to that part is when James Greer was dying and he goes, you got to do what's best for you and your country. And he goes, this is why.
He took an oath.
Yeah, and he told him,
don't serve the president. You don't serve the president. You serve the people, is what Jim Greer basically was saying.
And he knows that, you know, Jim Greer and him are best friends. So he knew, like, you know what? Even if he tried to tarnish him, like, he knows what type of man Jim Greer is. So, like, he was like, all right, like, you want, that's what he's like, I don't dance. Like, I don't take your bullshit. And he just left. And I was like, I love that. Like, that's
the two-step.
Yeah. And I like that. And that's the thing. Like that scene, I think the whole ending felt off from the whole movie, but I love the lead up because like I always told my wife, the ending of Jack Ryan when he gets to the Senate and it just starts to scroll up pisses me off because I want to see him throw everybody under the bus and see what plays out. But you don't. It's just one of those like open endings. Like you got
to
guess what
it's happens. Similar to the last movie where they're yeah. talking about the baby. What are we going to have? And then this movie starts and they got a little boy. That's yeah. like 2 years old already. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you can figure what happened.
If I may add something to this, this movie was, this book was written around the same time that the Iran-Contra hearings happened. And so that's what added to the controversy about this. So it was kind of similar because there were arms being traded for the hostage trading system. So that's what, so they were saying some like shady things were happening in the White House. So basically that's what kind of probably made this movie probably a little bit more favorable versus predecessor to this movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like it. I love the setup between him yelling at the president and then him mm-hmm. at the end going in front of Congress. Like that whole thing is awesome, but it just feels out of place with the entire movie because he went from becoming the director of the CIA, then he's now going to a rescue mission, and then all of a sudden from that he comes back to the United States and it was like I'm going one-on-one with the president and everybody that screwed him over. So it was just like it was just weird ending. I liked it though. I thought it was a great ending, but I do understand it's a very, I don't know what to say, but I gave it a, like I said, I gave the storyline a 4 also. I thought it was a great story. Line. Okay, overall, Nate.
I think you said a lot of stuff that I will add to my overall. I gave it a 4. Yep. Pacing is an issue for me. I do think there are parts that are like a little dry, you know, like
a chicken.
Little dry, but a very good movie. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I liked the last one and I liked this one. I liked Harrison Ford in the role. I think he's great. I like all the side characters. I like James Earl Jones. I still like Ann Archer. I liked all the government guys here. Like Henry Zerny was good. I like the guys who play the cartels. Like, this is a well-made, well-executed political thriller with a splash of action. And there's nothing wrong with that. And it's a good movie, but it definitely could have had some things trimmed. Because again, I feel like it would read better as a book than play as a movie as it's constructed. I think they could have cut just a little, maybe 15 minutes of stuff here and there. And it would have been a little tighter. So a 4 for me.
Okay, Jay.
You know, I didn't have problem with the pacing with this movie. I thought it kept me engaged. And I've watched this movie several times and it's like, it's something I can watch maybe once a year. And so I enjoyed it. So I'm not going to lie. I gave it a 5 overall.
Nice. Either way, look, if it's a 4 or a 5, totally understandable in my point of view. It's a great film. I'm giving it a 4 because of like what I said before, and Nate alluded to it, at the pacing of the film. That's what hurts it. If it had the same pacing as a Patriot Game, I would have been like, you know what? This movie's a 5 all over the place. It's just that daunting stretching of the analytical work. I think that could have been knocked down a bit. Him, you know, the whole thing with the guys getting killed was long.
Alex, I don't mean to cut you off. I'll give you a perfect example. I think you'll agree with this. A perfect example of something you could trim down and do it in a different way. They bring the little thing to the analyst guy and they want him to figure out the password, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to crack the password. So he's sitting there, they're standing next to him, and he's like, birth date in reverse, mother birth date in reverse. And he's going, it's literally like 35 seconds for it. Then they start walking away. They're walking, and he's still sitting there. Daughter's birthday, birthday in reverse. And it goes for like 3 minutes of like, it doesn't need to be a 3 minute scene. And then they walk all the way back to him. It's little things like that happen a bunch of times in this movie.
No, I agree with you. That it's like those fluffs that didn't need to be there. I didn't like it as much. I liked it when they did it the first time, when he was mm-hmm. like, get into Ritter's computer. And I was like, okay, great. But then like that scene was playing that whole like suspense because he's like at the same time.
That was different. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. I enjoyed that for what it was. But I do agree with you on that scene. That scene was a little...
Or the bomb falling from the sky for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Restaurant scene when she sees her friend and he goes, we'll get the table. And I was like, why?
Yeah, what was the point?
That made no sense.
The whole point of that scene was just for her to say he looks like a Latin Jack Ryan.
Yes.
That's literally it.
That's what they call me. And I was just like, hold back. But
I think that part was so that she could... Yeah. So because later on down the road, they used that as identity. Because if you remember right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you could have done
that. That whole scene was used because then remember, the wife brings it up, said it looked like a Latin you. He's like, oh, Latin? That's a big clue. But it's like a 5 minute scene for that part, that little bit.
They could have did it two ways. They could have did it with Jack Ryan and her getting off the table. And when she's walking away, she sees her friend with a Spanish guy getting into a cab. There you go. That's all you had to say.
It was a weird scene.
It was kind of weird. So with that said, 4 for me overall. 5 for Jay, 4 for Nate. Okay, total points, Jay.
23.
Ooh. Okay.
Nate. Well, this one's high for me too. 22 out of 25. It might be my favorite one so far, but maybe not. I have to really think about it. It is the high score. I think I might have liked the last one, though. Just like a smidge better.
Well, for me, this is a 21. I do like Patriot Games for what it is. I like this story more than Patriot Games.
Yeah.
I like this one more than Patriot Games. I just think the pacing on this one is kind of But overall, I get more emotionally excited when they fuck him over and he's getting really mad. I like that.
If you could somehow mix the two together.
Oh, that would have been a sauce.
Yeah.
But yeah, so to me, a 21. All right. So Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
Okay, so coming up on the podcast, we will continue on with our Cops and Robbers month with an Alex favorite, the movie called Edge of Darkness, directed by one of his favorite directors, Martin Campbell. So we're going to be reviewing that movie. Jay will be back for that. And then next week, we continue on with the Jack Ryan movies, which I'm enjoying these so far. I'm having a good time with these movies. They're good. And we'll be doing a new Jack Ryan, Ben Affleck, and The Sum of All Fears, and Evan, the expert, will be back with us for that episode.
Yeah. All right, Jay, thank you so much for this episode.
Thank you for having me.
You guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over Instagram at NateFlixReviews. We are there every other week, live 9 p.m. Eastern. On the other Monday, Nate is live with his friends. And of course, follow his podcast, available anywhere. It's NateFlix Movie Reviews. And of course, anything Action Movie Guys, Instagram, Geeks and Flicks. Head over to our official website, www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from NateFlix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.